The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Hi, everyone. It's Steven Schleicher, Major Spoilers EP. Thanks for downloading and checking out this week's show. You know, I know a lot of you are already talking about the Dungeons & Dragons next release or 5th edition or whatever that they're calling it. Mm-hmm. We talked about that kind of in detail over on the most recent Major Spoilers podcast, episode 574. You can go check that out. So if you want to know what our thoughts are, I know we've talked about it before in some of the mailbag episodes, but if you want to hear a good, quick 15-20-minute discussion on it, head over to MajorSpoilers.com and check out the Major Spoilers podcast episode. I'm also super surprised at the feedback that we had after last week's episode. So I've got Matthew and Rodrigo in here because this sometimes happens when we recorded that episode. And again, this is one of the neat things about playing a real-time game role play. Nothing is scripted out. So we're just sitting there and whatever happens, happens. It's us playing the game and you, the listener, listening in. And I was like, oh, man, there's going to be so many people that hate this episode, Rodrigo. Mm-hmm. And we released it. And sure enough, there are a lot of you who did not care. For an hour plus of four dorks standing around a well trying to do stuff. But on the other hand, there are an equal number of people who absolutely loved this episode.
Yeah.
Why?
I think because it's a character episode. You kind of sometimes the players come up against a wall and there's no easy way to get around it, which means it gives you a lot of character exploration and you throw a lot of ideas at it. You know, the characters basically get to do a lot of things that they wouldn't normally do. It also changes the pace of the game because, you know, the game is kind of had been kind of this relentless race to get to that well.
Right.
And then once you get to the well, everything just grinds to a halt.
And it's like, what do we do now?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people, it's funny. One of the first comments I think that came in, somebody was like, this episode was great. I'd rather listen to four people argue around a well than listen to a combat episode.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's the thing, about the critical hit experience, like kind of like the Dungeons and Dragons podcast experience, is that there's a lot of stuff to like. There's a lot of stuff that not everybody's going to be into. And unfortunately, dear listeners, for everything that you hate, there's like somebody canceling you out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, some people love the character episodes. Some people are just like, oh my God, when are we going to get to the next combat?
Yeah, to the next fighting, the next battle. Matthew, you kind of had to sit back for an entire hour. Were you pulling your hair out?
No, I was a little irritated that Rodrigo wouldn't let me Ben Kenobi from beyond, but you know, we've had that discussion before.
Yeah.
You'll recall the Aurum used the pointy bits. That was a running gag, I believe, in season two. But
it was
fascinating to listen to, and I don't usually get that perspective either, you know, to where I have to step back. My character's not in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So I am kind of a listener at that point. And I kind of feel both sides of it. I can see where you would be really fascinated to listen to the characters hashing it out and figuring it out for themselves. And then I can also see the point where you're just like, shut up, cat. I only use Rob's character as an example. It certainly wasn't, you know, a shot at Rob necessarily. But, you know, I think I lean more towards the enjoying that to me is part of the real Dungeons and Dragons experience.
Yes. And that's why, you know, when I listened to it again while I was editing it down, and there's very little that was edited out of that episode, some pauses, some foul language that was spouted out by one person. No, not her. But as I was listening through it, I was like, you know what, this is actually a really good episode. And at first when we played it, I was like, oh, this isn't very fun. But listening back to it, I was like, this actually is a lot of fun. And so I ended up really liking the episode a lot. But I thought I would just pop in here with these two guys and say, for those of you that hated it, we're sorry. For those of you that loved it, there'll be more coming soon.
We're sorry that you won't like the next episode.
Well, speaking of, let's get into this week's episode. I forget what this one is called. Finally down the well. I forget. I don't have my notes in front of me.
I think it's called Well, Well, Well. Or That's a Deep Subject.
There you go. Thanks, everybody,
from
for listening.
Torque's perspective,
and enjoy
splat.
This episode of Critical Hit. Welcome to Critical Hit. You're probably as mad at our Dungeon Master as we are.
Be mad at yourselves.
Whee! I kind of doubt that.
I'm not.
Last time on Critical Hit.
Time for a mailbag.
I don't have my mailbag open this week.
All right. But I want more tasty suspense.
Yes.
So we will pick this up right after Torque gets a message. Now that we've had time to make his new character.
Yes.
Yep. I'm Scottish, nay. Gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Now that we've had time to make his second new character.
There's no meteors in the Underdark. He's got some time. All right. So Torque falls for a long time before that message even gets there. And then he continues to fall, and after a while, he notices that he is speeding up. He is, in fact, falling faster and faster. And, you know, Torque has, in his career, done a lot of falling. Eventually, you kind of stop accelerating. It is, in fact, not normal. Torque continues to fall for a very, very, very long time, faster and faster down this hole. He can barely see around because this green glow is there.
Does it get thicker for him?
Nope. It's still about the same. So it just kind of illuminates the walls to let him know that they're basically flying by.
All right.
Nice.
There's also no real way for him to like steer or anything. So he just kind of falls straight through the middle. And he falls and he falls and he falls. And then eventually he sees a light at the end.
Don't go towards the light.
You can't help it.
Ah, crap.
You Aunt Tilly.
And basically falls through the ceiling of this chamber. And about maybe 5 feet from the edge where basically where the hole is into the chamber. Comes to almost a complete stop. Slows down to a stop. Perhaps the weirdest feeling of that all is there's a little bit of vertigo from having been moving so fast and then stop moving, but definitely not the gut-wrenching kind of
splat that
or for that matter being stopped at that and not, you know, having your bones keep going or something like that, you know?
Can I drop to the ground?
Not yet.
Okay.
Torque slowly descends, and here in this place, that green glow is a lot brighter and it kind of illuminates the room completely. Slowly, Torque descends, and he gets to see what is surrounding him. This is a very, very wide room. Surrounding or kind of etched into the walls are statues of what are very likely drow, since they are elven folk. They're carved out of the stone. They don't have any, you know, color or indications other than the odd, like, spider motif on them. We'll say there are 20 of them around. They are arranged boy-girl, boy-girl. They all appear to be youthful. And it's very clear that they're arranged boy-girl, boy-girl because they're all uniformly naked. Torque continues to descend until finally his feet gently touch the ground.
Do they look like statues, or do they look like gonna come to life and eat me statues?
I suppose that depends on your level of paranoia. Certainly, at this point, they look like statues, but come and eat you statues also look like that at times.
All right, I'm gonna look up.
They
and
don't.
Wait for
they're not like.
Follow me.
They're kind of built into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't. They're not separate from the wall. If anything, they're kind of like very deep etchings.
Okay.
What did you say were looking for?
I'm going to look up and wait for everybody to follow me.
Okay. You look up and wait for everybody to follow you.
Yep. How long do you think I wait?
How long do you wait?
Tork has a...
At what point do two sun rods come and land beside him?
Even then, I think it's going to be a while.
Okay.
Tork has a pretty loose definition of time. I would say 14 and a half minutes.
Okay. After 14 and a half minutes, Tork gets super bored of waiting.
Oh, the first sun rod was dropped fairly quickly.
All right.
Obvious exits are up and over that way. There is one entrance to this place, which is pretty large. It's the in between two of the statues, there's a very large door, something where you could easily bring in, you know, I don't know, five people shoulder to shoulder without too many problems, without them like touching or being in each other's way.
Okay. Is there anything in the room other than the entrance and the statues?
Just kind of a platform where you landed. But other than that, it's just that there are some, if you get close to any of the statues, which I assume you do because it's a little boring in here.
I'm going to probably check out the prettiest girl type statue.
All of them are fairly attractive. But once you get up to them, you can see that they are in fact different. They have different facial features. They have slightly different body types, but not too much. These are all pretty slender. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some guys have broader chests. Some girls have broader chests, slightly longer or shorter ears, that sort of thing. You know, and again, when you start looking at them, different facial features, these are all, if not meant to be specific people, at least they were made to be different from each other.
Right. So what would I roll to see if I can discern whether these are people who were turned to stone?
Oh, they weren't. They're gigantic.
Okay, so they're not like people. They're
representative. No. They are as tall as this room, and this room is, you know, maybe a good, I don't know.
So they're just enormous.
Yeah.
Representation. So if they're going to come to life, they're going to be way big.
Yeah.
So this is good to know. Okay. I look up for a while longer.
Okay.
Any sign of the people?
Nope. You wanna do a montage here?
Well, the montage would include Tork kind of looking around, trying to figure out the heft and the balance of his new axe, kind of balancing it on his hand, swinging it around a little bit, looking up, muttering something about they're probably trying to figure it all out again.
Mm-hmm.
Something about that darn cat's probably saying, no, we can't.
Yep. You find one of Ket's playing pieces. This one you didn't mean to steal. You just kind of somehow ended up with it.
Ooh. I'm going to play with this. What's it look like?
This one, it's part of that cube. This one is a pig queen.
Ooh, cool. I'm going to try to use my new axe to slice it perfectly in two.
Okay. You slice it perfectly in two.
Cool. I'm starting to get the feel of this new one.
Yes. I look up for you're going to have to pick up get a new cube. What did you say?
I examine the doors. Do the doors look like they can be blocked or locked or anything?
No, it's just an archway.
Okay, so there's not actually a door, it's a doorway.
Right.
Huh, okay. Is there anything out there?
You can't see out of it. I mean, it's super dark down that way, and all the light is in here. So a few feet out of the door, you can see there's a cave, and then after that, you can't see much.
The darn goblins ate all my sunrods or something. Actually, I don't know if I have any sunrods.
You can have one.
To my knowledge, though.
You can have a sunrod. It's not a big deal.
Torque doesn't want to go too far from the thing so that when everybody comes down, because they should be down in just a minute, I'm
right.
sure.
Yeah. I mean, after all this time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's it been? Like 4 hours? Maybe the fall seems like it takes forever, and it's got one of those time.
Yeah, maybe it's different for different people.
Yeah, so maybe I only fell for a minute, but it felt like months and months.
Right.
So I could be down here for a while. Do I have anything to eat?
Yeah, you've got provisions.
I'm going to eat something.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit in the place that is probably the most able for me to see the door.
Yeah. This room is circular, so anywhere in the room, you can basically sit on the far end so you can look straight down the door.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to like be out of sight of the door, then mm-hmm. you just kind of pick a side on basically right. If you were to like draw a square shape with the door being a corner, you can right. pick like the either side of that square, and it would get you a good look at the door while still not being totally visible.
I'm gonna say across from the door, so that I'll have time if something comes
right,
in
right.
to leap into action.
Okay. Well, Torque sits there for a while. He looks out the door. He gets a chance to really analyze this green glow. It's, you know, it's pretty. And, you know, since he's got the time, and he actually rolled pretty well in his, really well in his religion check, you don't really know how these actually work, because this is some heavy duty divine magic, and you've only been a priest for 45 minutes. But for example, some of the stuff you were getting, there's something about this place that's tied to fertility. Probably that's why all the naked people, and that's all the kind of readings that you were getting out of the deal.
That makes sense. The growing part and everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
It's an energy of growth, but the place isn't actually growing. That's kind of it tied to sort of like fertility resonance.
Okay. I'm going to take the two halves of the split thing, and I'm going to stand on one side of the chamber, and I'm going to use my bow to try and shoot them from the other side of the chamber.
Okay.
So I'm going to shoot across at them.
Okay. Takes you a couple of shots, but you figure it out.
How long has it been now?
A good long while.
All right, I'm gonna read the Book of Corallon.
Okay.
See if I can find any passages that are particularly meaningful in terms of patience.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of those, largely illustrated by the fact that Corallon wasn't patient.
Yeah.
You've really discovered that the Book of Corallon is largely Corallon leading by like counterexample. It's like it's mostly the misadventures of Corallon and why he should have thought better of what he did. It really is. It's kind of the basis of the whole religion, is recalling these misadventures that Corallon had and thinking, you know, instead of doing that, I should do this. Of course, like a lot of religious texts, there's ones that contradict each other. Ones where Corallon has too much trepidation and doesn't do something and does messes up, and ones where he's too impatient and thus messes up. Like,
there's the one where Corallon ends up as the leader of a group of citizen police volunteers, and the one where Corallon's boss dies, but he doesn't want anybody to know, so he and his friends pretend that the boss is still alive.
Right, right.
The one where Corallon's friend falls in love with a mannequin that turns out to be a princess.
Right. The one where Corallon is a poor boy who dances really well, and then a rich girl comes into his resort.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a really good the one where Coralon and his other nerdy friend accidentally create a goddess out of the ether.
Yep. Yeah. That one might actually be in there.
That's the origin of Arathis, from what there you I go. Understand.
All right. So Torque reads scripture, practices weaponry, probably takes a nap, eats some stuff.
If there ain't some sort of time squeezing thing in that hole, I'm gonna be really unhappy when everybody gets down there.
Oh yeah, that definitely was.
Eventually, Torque.
I'm sure they're really happy with you too.
Yeah. Torque hears a high pitched noise, which eventually he recognizes to be Orym.
I hate this place.
Who, just like Torque, falls and then kind of stops abruptly at the ceiling of this place and then slowly descends. As Orym's feet touch the ground. He is followed by Ket, and then Trell, who has a long sheet following her, and then and then what appears to be a mummy. But then as it turns around, you see that it is Randa's, tangled up in a similar sheet from what Trell has.
These are the work.
I try to help unravel Randus.
Okay.
Don't tear it.
Did you guys get attacked by sheets on the way down?
Yes.
Trell just stares at him.
I didn't see nothing on the way down. I figured the time had to be all squished up like when Randus did that one thing, because it felt like I was down here for hours, but I know there's no way you guys stood up there for like 2 weeks and complained about what I just done. So,
yeah, funny thing about these kind of things. Anything magic, you never can tell, Torque.
Yeah, them distortionments. What?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hang on. You're still all wrapped up. You look like you just got out of bed.
As you untangle Randus, some sun rods land next to him.
Those have been good to have. So I checked it out. This here room leads down a hallway. I didn't want to go too far down because y'all was, you know, I was just waiting for y'all guys to come down. But it was, I think we may have found our way into the Underdark here.
Trell has weapons out.
Okay.
Let's go.
I haven't seen any peoples or nothing.
That's weird.
Or any drows, which makes
no one came in or out.
Just y'all. I was down here, because of the time distortion. I don't know how long, but y'all was right after me, and there wasn't anybody here.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't seen nobody except for these tall, rocky people here.
Yes. Okay. Randus, you all right?
I'm good.
You guys are weird.
Look around for a gold piece.
What did I miss here?
Okay.
It'd probably be a while.
Maybe.
Okay.
Okay, well, which way did you say the door was?
You can see it.
It's over there.
That big door right there.
It's kind of quaint.
Well, okay, well, that's all. Let's all move forward. Okay. I'm looking back, just moving forward.
Okay.
But, okay. You guys are acting weird again.
Trell stares at the statues.
Don't stare. It's not polite because they's naked.
What's wrong with naked?
Well, nothing, but you don't want to know somebody all staring when you're naked.
She stares at Torque. What?
Never mind.
Okay.
Anyway, we go down the hall. Should I lead down the hall?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna put it out of my head that my friends are acting really weird and lead down the hall.
Okay.
I don't know that we're acting all that much weirder than normal.
I don't know. How's Orm's hair after all that fall?
I don't think they're acting weird.
Say what?
How's Orm's hair after that fall?
Oh, it's fine.
All right, good.
I don't think they're acting weird.
Like, it might have been a little messed up, but he just has to, like, flick his head once and it all falls into...
All right, cool.
And then the music plays.
Yep.
As it always does.
So, Torque's up front. What's everybody else's marching order?
Trell second.
Me.
Me.
I'll take the reel.
Yep.
Yes, there you go.
Okay. You guys start walking down that way. There's no light here.
Mm.
We should,
as we leave this room, say up a silent thanks to Lolth.
Just in case. Hold on to Ket or someone with low light vision.
Not Randis.
No, I said Randis. Hold on to Ket.
Oh, okay.
Ket, you have low light vision, don't you?
Yes,
should be.
Okay, good.
Okay. Non-robot hand on Ket's shoulder.
All right. Well, the light from the chamber only goes a few feet out of the room.
Do we have any sun rods?
Yeah, you guys have plenty of sun rods.
Yeah, two followed us.
I assume one of them was out and no longer usable.
Nobody said
probably
that.
Why?
Because one of them was lit.
One of them, at least one of them that we dropped was lit and...
You dropped at least two lit ones.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're fine. You can pick them up and use them.
Okay, then.
Let's use them.
If you didn't notice, the sun rods came after us even though we threw them in first.
Because you guys are heavier and fell faster.
Yes.
Because the magic accelerated us down.
I don't want us to get emails about that.
Okay. Which part?
The falling faster thing.
Yeah. Well, hold on tight to your magic bow, and I'll hold my magic axe and hope that nobody worries about our scientific
next week in debate how Superman flies.
I get fault. Okay.
Are we
light
gonna,
on.
Are we going to... All right. That's fine.
Okay. Who's got sun rods?
Not Orm.
Yo. Okay. Ket.
I'll take one.
Okay. Ket and Randis have some sun rods.
Wait, you're not even in front. Hold on. Give me that.
I can't see.
Ket, give me yours. Randis, you keep one.
Okay.
Randis.
Oh. Randis doesn't can barely see. And Ket is second, like, from the back. It doesn't make sense.
Are we worried about the light? Is that what this is?
We're not going to be able to see is the problem.
I can see.
You can't see in pitch black. Low light vision doesn't mean you can see in pitch black. It means you have, like, good eyesight in the dark. But, like, not absolute darkness.
All right, we have the lights out. Let's go down the hallway. What do we see?
Cave. This, similar to the well, similarly to the well, also appears to be a natural formation, but is in fact also very symmetrical. And suspiciously, the ground appears to have some form of texturing to not be as smooth as the walls. This tunnel is enormous. Think of, I don't know, a five-story building. That's kind of the radius of it. And it's kind of mostly circular, maybe kind of squished a little bit so that there's more ground to walk on. But it is massive.
Is there any evidence of tracks or people or vehicles or anything coming through?
Give me a dungeoneering check.
Okay. What's my dungeoneering score? Ooh, I suck at this. 25.
You don't spot anything, like nothing jumps out at you.
Okay.
Which I guess in this situation is probably a good thing.
Yes.
How similar is this stuff to like Eladrin architecture?
This does not appear. Say what?
If it was well lit, like.
There's no supports or walls or carvings in this cave. It appears to have been carved out of the stone.
So pretty much nothing like Eldrin stuff.
Yes, pretty much nothing like Eldrin stuff. I guess you could compare it to the fact that Eldrin like live in crystal buildings. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's comparable in the sense that both Drow and Eldrin figured out a way to make, you know, mineral structures into houses.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it.
Okay. This is amazing.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what they was trying to bring in here.
What do you mean, bring in?
Well, it's like a tunnel. Tunnels are to take things to places or to get somewhere. You know, is this like just a way to walk around or a way to move your stuff and your machines in your houses? Or, I mean, you didn't just make a tunnel because it looks pretty, did you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It certainly seems much larger than it needs to be, considering that there's a very small hole up.
It may
so
be.
So it would actually just kind of lead to that chamber.
I suppose that makes sense. And the statues in the chamber was really tall.
I mean, if you're moving large amounts of troops through here, then there's going to be a lot of backlog while everybody goes up, if people can actually go up through this.
Why would they be able to go up? You just jump in and come down.
Yes.
Well, doesn't this kind of mean that it must not have been built for going?
It was probably built for prayer and worship.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not built for troops, but then they used it for troops. So it predates the war, right?
You figure it probably would, yeah. I mean, why would you put this much pertifying into something that's just, you know, your troop walking area?
Charles, so excited.
Sounds reasonable.
As you guys continue walking, you find that there are tunnels that kind of empty into this larger tunnel. These tunnels are anywhere from little places where a child would have trouble crawling through to other clear pathways where maybe you guys could walk to abreast.
Any detail on the wall down those tunnels?
Nope. It's all kind of
okay.
Organically, circularly carved out.
Okay.
We don't have any type of map, do we?
Nope.
Not for this thing.
Nope.
Randus, is your Thony gauge working or doing anything different?
Doing the same thing. Yeah. Hasn't changed.
No, it's still the same.
Okay. And we hear nothing? Do we hear anything as we're walking down these passages besides our own voices echoing off the...
That's what a great thing to bring up. As you walk and think to yourself, I am hearing nothing except the sound of my own echoing voice, you realize that you're not hearing the sound of your own echoing voice.
Mm.
It doesn't echo?
Not at least at normal conversation levels.
Well, but I mean, we are in a thing that's 10 stories wide.
There should be lots of echo here.
Yeah, there should be.
It's hard surfaces, and it's really large.
Okay.
But you can't hear anything else besides the sound of your own footsteps and the gasp of sudden realization that there's no echo here.
Perfectly straight tunnel, or does it curve up, down? Do we get any sense of that?
Only very slightly. Okay. Like, when you turn around and look back, you realize that there's, like, an ever so slight, like, left curve, which then, like, straightens out.
Guess we keep walking.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys keep walking down this tunnel. You walk for a good long while. When suddenly you actually hear a noise.
What are we
hearing? What is it?
It's hard to tell. It just sounds like maybe something hitting one of the walls or something, but it's like the first thing you've heard that is clearly not you guys.
So let me ask you guys, the rest of the party, this. As we are walking down this tunnel, where are we walking in the tunnel? Are we walking right down the middle of the tunnel, or are we walking over by one of the sidewalls, or what are we doing?
There's lots of exits into the sidewalls.
Mm-hmm.
Probably best to go down the center.
I agree.
So someone can't jump us as we pass one of those exits.
Sure, all right. Proceed with caution.
And I'd rather be against a wall, but there's not a direct wall.
Do we see, like, light or anything ahead, or is it still pitch black, or...
It's still pitch black.
The sounds sound like they're coming from in front of us?
Yeah, it sounds like it's coming from up ahead. Then from up ahead, you hear a woman's voice that says, "Who dares walk down my tunnel?"
Ted? Torque? Does this sound familiar? Out of character.
What? That's it?
Rodrigo shook his head.
No.
Okay.
I can't see him. He's frozen at my little screen. What do you do?
Oh, I see. And at the edge of the light that your sunrods put out, you see somebody step out of the shadows. It is a drow woman. She is wearing, kind of a, like basically chain armor, marked with the sign of Lolth. Her skin is, kind of a very, very dark purple. Her hair is silver. She's got it up in kind of a bun with a pin going through it. She appears to be unarmed as she continues to walk towards you, white eyes, light lipstick of some kind. And she says, she stops kind of at the edge of the light and says, "Ah, yes, I've been expecting you.
Who are you?"
"My name is not important. What is important is that you bring the Chosen One. The one who is fabled to destroy all worlds, to end the suffering of all people." And she slowly lifts up a hand with a pointing finger and says, "Randa's Duthane."
What?
No.
Orm was all prepared to look at Ket.
Ket had started turning to Randa almost as soon as she said "destroyer of worlds."
No. Not, no. Not it.
Stare at Randis.
And how do you, is that supposed to happen?
She
I think that's obvious.
She goes to opens her mouth
saying that.
Yes.
She opens her mouth as though she's about to talk, and then just kind of goes and kind of doubles over laughing.
Oh.
Goes, "Wow, you guys are amazing." She reaches back to her pin, pulls it out of her hair, and her hair unwinds and falls around her shoulders. And as it does, it changes in color very slightly. It goes from being a straight-up silvery to kind of a platinum blonde. As this happens, her skin lightens significantly to kind of a grayish, bluish gray. An area around her eyes continues to lighten to a light gray, to where she has kind of these two rectangular marks that kind of intersect her eyes, with just kind of silver orbs where the white, eyes used to be. Her armor warps and shapes into a kind of a long brown traveler's jacket and a vest and a belt and some pants. As this all kind of finishes and her clothing and shape settle, also her ears kind of round out and shrink. Kind of gives you guys a smile. Orym, Randus, and Torque recognize her as the Queen's Rebellious Daughter.
Tet met her too, no?
Nope.
Wait. Weren't you at the Triskelion?
Glaw met her.
Nope, that was Glaw.
Oh, no, that's right.
Glaw met her.
Yes. Yep.
And poor late Sir Brenzen.
Yep.
Oh.
Mm. Hello.
Now I'm sad.
Hi.
You're actually a sight for sore eyes.
You guys too. I didn't expect to run into you guys here. She
looks like a thousand times more suspicious of this person than a drow.
Interesting.
Trell, Ket, this is the Queen's Rebellious Daughter.
What queen?
That's her name.
It's my title. She takes the pin and flicks it, and it turns into basically a rubber band type looking thing. She puts it in her mouth, like bites it, and starts like gathering up her hair into a ponytail. What are you guys doing down here anyway?
We're trying to get into the Underdark.
Well, you succeeded.
We're actually trying to backdoor way into the Feywild.
Through the Underdark?
Yes.
Guys, who is this person?
This is the Queen's Rebellious Daughter.
Those words don't actually mean anything.
She's somebody that we worked with before.
I thought you listened to the pods.
Orym looks at her and just stares.
Oh,
Trell. You can tell there's a hurt look in his eyes.
Listen, when would she have time to listen to the podcast?
Well, we had 12 hours.
She doesn't have a job where she sits at the computer. Falling.
It's like on the way down.
We've been dying for 6 weeks. Trell, you trust me?
Yes.
Okay, I trust her.
She's okay.
A little bit.
So, yes, we're trying to get into the Feywild.
We were going to go through the Underdark to the Feydark.
Feydark and then...
Wow.
The Feydark to the Feydark.
Yeah, no, that would work.
Hopefully.
It'd be extremely dangerous.
Well, we can't get into the Feywild any other way at this point.
I thought I saw something about that.
And you may remember Danger's our middle name.
Let's walk and talk.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
So we start kind of filling her in on
what happened
with Spud.
Yeah, she, as you're walking, she actually walks right next to Orym and, like, hooks his arm.
Orym doesn't know what to make of that. His face gets a little flushed.
Trout looks alarmed. But keeps going forward.
After we explain things, so what happened to the drow?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Did you guys come in through
the well?
Temple?
thing?
The jumping one.
Hole in the ground.
All of those, yes.
Pillar of fertility.
Oh, is that what that is?
Ah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this definitely looks like a fertility place.
So, okay. Yeah, if you came in through there, which just straight down that way?
Yeah. Back
yes.
that way.
Yes.
You guys should have run out into about 4 or 5 patrols by then, or by now. I'm guessing you didn't run into anybody.
Nope.
Yeah, I haven't run into anybody either.
And how long have you been down here?
Not very long, but I heard a nasty rumor.
Which is?
Doesn't that a lot of the drow are gone.
Oh.
What do you mean, gone?
Well, we don't have a lot of ears down here, so that's about all I had heard, and it piqued my interest.
Do you think it has to do with our spud issue?
I think it obviously has to do with it, just like how the Eladrin got wiped out. Why wouldn't
we
the drought
cause
be wiped out too?
All the problems in the known universe.
No, I'm saying Feywild to like start with was already like messed up when we went there, remember?
No, I think New Boy is right. I don't know that this has necessarily something to do with what's happening with you. At least I wouldn't say it. In the world, there's about anywhere from 2 to 5 world-shattering crises going on at any given time. So this could be something else. Mm-hmm. Let's not rule it out, but I would say maybe.
It could still be Ket's fault.
But thinking like symmetrically, right? There's the Feywild that has the Eladrin in it. There's the Underdark that has the Drow in it.
Well, then why didn't anything happen to the elves?
Yeah, your people, other than having been attacked by the moon creatures, didn't seem all that worse off.
Well, that's because the Feywild is controlled by the... is affected by the moon, right?
But the Feywild was all wild and weird and everything was all twisted and funny, and this is just like, oops, they're gone.
I don't know. I think it makes some kind of weird cosmic sense.
I think you're not making any sense.
Oh, she's making some sense.
I understand what she's saying. But again, the elves were not affected.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of evidence.
Well, Orym, we don't actually know that the elves weren't affected, remember?
True. Your group was not affected.
Well, a lot of us were killed, but not to the same extent, but I still don't know what's going on in the Southern Continent. You're not from the Southern Continent, are you?
No.
Where are you from?
I'm not from around here, definitely.
Well, yeah.
So,
but I've been here before.
A long time ago.
Were you in the Underdark Wars?
Let's say yes. I was in the Underdark Wars.
That's probably the easiest way to explain that, isn't it?
You said you belong to some...
But it's the less confusing one.
You said that you belong to some group. What group do you belong to?
Oh, that's classified.
So you belong to a secret group?
Yeah. Wow. I'm glad that you're expanding your operation. These new kids are sharp.
Yeah, you know. We do what we can.
Yeah. She's also good corporate culture. She's asking the exact same questions you guys asked me when you first met me.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's right. Do you know the way to the Feydark?
Well, if I remember correctly, the closest city, the one that we're actually heading to right now down this tunnel, is somewhat unique in that it has a possibly the only functioning pillar, although I suspect there are others, as well as a portcullis to the demon web,
mm-hmm.
and an entrance to the Fey Dark.
Interesting. And you've been to the city?
I have been to the city before.
Is it also empty?
Oh, no, not in this trip.
Oh,
last
okay.
time I was here, it wasn't empty.
I'm sure it was very full the last time. So we're walking a little bit more, filling her more in on the, the result of the, I'm sure she already knows, but just filling her in on the Astral Sea adventure, keeping her up to speed on the Greater Fey and what happened there.
Telling her everything we
telling
know.
Telling her everything that we know.
as we always
she's still holding. I'm guessing she's still adorable. Holding on to Orm's arm. And Orm really likes her.
Yeah. kind of nudge Randus.
What?
Wasn't she a friend of Thony's?
Yes.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but now that you have.
So.
Sorry.
But by the way, how did that disguise? How did you do that?
Do what?
With the drow? You look.
Oh! Yeah, I have a. It's technically called a. Hat of disguise.
Wow.
But I don't like hats, but it can be any kind of headwear that you want.
Hmm.
You want to try it?
Okay.
She takes it off her scrunchie and then just kind of like she puts her fingers through it and then opens them up and then just like catches a clump of Randus's hair and closes her fingers. I don't know. Think of someone or something. Actually, it's someone.
Randus
let's do someone.
Turns into a pumpkin.
Not my fault.
Think of someone, Randus.
Right. So, who's the first person that Randus thinks of when somebody says, think of someone?
Thony?
Oof.
It
was in his head. All right. Yes. Randus turns into someone that looks a lot like Thony, but isn't quite right. He is also wearing a like a Robin Hood like pointy hat with a feather.
Interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what we all said. Interesting.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. Oh, you thought of Thony. Yeah, and as soon as he takes the hat off, he just turns back into Randus. And she flicks the hat, turns back into a scrunchie, does her hair up again. Oh, you turned into Thony. That's cute. How is he doing? Have you talked to him recently?
Not exactly. He's not really with us anymore.
I know. You guys had, like, I think the last time he was in your company, that was, like, years ago.
He's passed on.
Oh, he died.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very sad.
Yeah.
But it happens.
And it does.
How old was he?
I have no idea. He was very old when we met him.
Yeah,
he was very old. I'm surprised he went as long as he did. Probably that amazing sense of adventure of his. Plus,
he was very old if he was in the Underdark Wars.
Yes.
So he did leave me a thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this. Do you make anything of
it? She, like, looks at it, turns it around, slaps it, like, bites it. Looks like a transmitter of some sort.
Yeah. That's about all
also
I've
receiver.
Been able to gather.
I don't know. It's receiving some sort of signal. If you had enough time and amplifier, you could probably track down where the signal was coming from. But,
yeah.
I mean, that is, like... I mean, it's elegant. It's nice. It's simple technology, but...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, and it's penetrating into here, so that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So good job, Thony.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, haven't really been able to explore it too much. Have other concerns.
That's understandable. But, I figure if it's not likely to blow up anytime soon, let's not worry about it.
Okay.
How did you get here?
That's a great question. I hitched a ride from a genie.
I see.
That apparently explains everything.
You're going to have to remember that one.
Well, you don't know what Trell is. Last time it was her team.
Yeah.
Very true.
So you guys continue walking for a little bit, and eventually she kind of holds up her arm or her hand and finally lets go of Orym. And she creeps forward a little bit, looks down this pathway, and motions for you guys to follow. And she doesn't, like, continue sneaking. She just stands up. And if you guys follow, she leads you to an opening of this passage. And then out of this passage, you see a big ledge, kind of a big staging area with a big path that leads off that way. And she just kind of walks up to the ledge and motions forward, and you see a really, really enormous city. It is largely built out of the same stone. Some buildings appear to be made out of different stuff. It is carved, like there are buildings that go all the way up the sides of the cave wall, and I mean, and this is massive in every direction. There are huge stalactites that have pathways around them and doorways and windows, like basically habitations built into these stalactites. The stalactite closest to you, you would imagine that at its thickest point is about the size of Diamond Throne.
Wow.
And there are multiple ones, and also, you know, the entirety of the actual ground and sides of the cave, as well as multiple multi-tiered buildings built into this. This city is massive.
Do we see any people?
No, you don't see any movement. You can see that there's lights. There's kind of something that's a lot like street lights. It's difficult to see from here what exactly they are, but the streets are lit. As you guys walk up to the wall and takes this in, she motions and says, "Welcome to Eldrazek, the city that something something."
Eldrazek.
E L space D R E
D R E. Okay.
Z E C.
Okay.
I'm sorry. X E C is what I meant. The last syllable is X, E, C.
Okay.
By the way, that's an Elven. So those of you that speak Elven know that it means the city that crawls.
The city that crawls, Trell translates.
That's what it is. She turns around and looks at kind of a Trell and Orym and says, "I'm sorry." In Elven, she says, "I'm sorry, my Elven's a little birthday."
Understandable. Okay.
I love you sometimes, son. Okay.
Thanks.
Step up to her and lean in. "You mean," and say,
"Whatever.
Off.
Rusty.
Or Rusty, whatever the one that would be close right. to birthday, but not
right.
Youthful.
Right." And she says, "Right. My Elven is Rusty birthday."
Close enough.
And she motions to a path and says, "Shall we?" Oh, and also there might still be spiders around her, so try to look tall.
Okay.
Orym stands a little straighter as the path goes down.
Yep.
Path goes down, and we iris close this episode. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating in all of our shenanigans last week so that we can get to this great moment this week. Yeah. So glad to see her come back. Queen's Rebellious Daughter. Like her a lot.
Yep.
If you have questions, comments, thoughts, suggestions, ideas, you can go over to majorspoilers.com/podcasts, and you can find all the podcasts in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network, including a repository of all the Critical Hit episodes. And you can go right into the comments section for this episode, and you can share your thoughts, your reactions, your whatevers, and we will look at them. And other people may comment on them as well. And we like it when people comment.
Yay.
Right, Rob?
Yay.
Rob likes it a lot. Right, Brian?
Yay.
Right, Adriana?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
To those comments. That's a great
question. I'll inside just be over here.
Right, Matthew?
Hi, how are you?
And right, Frederico.
Birthday!
You mean rusty birthday. No. All right, everyone. Until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.